Friends, John Dixon is an Australian Anglican minister, an apologist, a defender of the Christian faith, and an award-winning author. In fact, he's written many, many books. In one of his books that he aimed at teenagers, called A Sneaking Suspicion, he writes the following. In year nine, my mates and I were the class clowns. Very hard to think about him as a class clown now as an academic defending the gospel on a Q&A in other places. He said, there I was in year nine as a class clown. We never burnt the school down or anything, but it seemed like hardly a day went by without getting busted for something. Closest I'd ever got to religion before the age of 15 was attending a funeral. I had never gone to church or Sunday school, and no one in my family showed the least bit of interest in religious stuff. Turning out as a Christian surprised everyone. I never did drugs or stole cars. I used to shoplift a bit. I was just a selfish 15-year-old, he says. I learnt martial arts for 5 years. I practiced hard, then went to school to find people to practice on. Hurting just a couple of people is enough to get confidence, a big head, and a reputation. About this time, through the witness of a scripture teacher, I was surprised by God's love for me, and over a period of months, I was drawn to a God who would forgive me for my wrongs and give me a new start. Like most Aussies, I had a hunch that there was something more to life than beer and footy. I also had a hunch that the something more could be found by looking into Jesus. When I decided to go with my hunch, I discovered more than I'd ever bargained for. Friends, Jesus is full of grace and comes to seek and to save the lost, to seek and to save the rebellious teenager like John Dixon, to seek and save the confident chief executive, to seek and to save the avowed atheist, to seek and to save the committed family woman, to seek and to save the average Joe Blow. Jesus has come to seek and to save. And the mission of our church is to be a part of Jesus' mission to see people sought and found in him. Saved, transformed, now living for Jesus and for his glory. Why do I speak on this passage today? Well, we had a 1 week off. It's the AGM today. And we're thinking about why we exist and where we're heading. And if there's one thing you want to pick up today, it's this, that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. We are the lost. He has saved us. And he gives us the responsibility now to go in his name and in his power to help other people, other lost people, be found. You see, Jesus, in his time, spent time with the outcasts in society, the immoral, the prostitutes, the liars, the cheats, the sick, the oppressed. And in fact, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7, he commends the love of a former prostitute. In chapter 15, he has been spending so much time with the irreligious that they condemn him. This man, they say, welcomes sinners and eats with them. He shares a meal with them, something that you would not do with people who were like the people he hung out with. But you see, as we saw, by the way, if you didn't know who that little, poor little traumatized boy was on that seat, that's little Micah Hookham. He'll never be the same. Sorry, guys. He looked lost, but he normally looks lost anyway, doesn't he? So he's good. But let us know if we need to pray for him later. That's all right. You've coped, brother. It's okay. You haven't lasted 12 months yet. Just take it easy here. But you see, it's almost like a surprise on Micah's face going, what am I doing here? And Jesus surprises the religious leaders. He surprises the ordinary people because he spends time with the outcasts, the ones who need salvation, the ones who realize that they need salvation. And you see, just telling the story here, and you don't have any PowerPoints or outlines today, it's just a story. You'll get it. Zacchaeus worked for the Romans, was hated by the Jews. Israel is under Roman occupation. And anyone then who participates and works with the Romans is seen as a traitor to their own nation. So you have to pick that up. When you're talking about a tax collector, this is someone that Jewish people are not impressed with. He's regarded as a thief, a robber, a traitor to his own people. And the traders would use the roads. And as they used their roads, they travel from place to place. They would be taxed on their travels. So the tax collectors would charge them a certain amount that was required to go to the Romans, and then you would up the price to make your profits. And often they would take a lot more than what was required and put it into their own pockets. And so if you're an Israelite, if you're a Jew going past those roads and you see the tax collectors, they used to be your neighbours, your friends, now working for the enemy, right? You're not happy with that person. You don't like them at all. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. And he says he was very wealthy. In other words, he would send the workers out to collect the money and collect the taxes. And then it would come back to him and he would take his share. He's the boss, the CEO of the tax collectors. See, he wasn't an ordinary guy. This is the chief tax collector. And you picture him, he's sitting at his table. They're bringing in the money. How many coins you got? What do you mean? You didn't collect enough? Bring some more. Get out there, get some more for me. He's a traitor, he's selfish, and he's sinful. And Jesus is traveling through Jericho, and Zacchaeus is working in Jericho, an important trade route from Jerusalem to the east. Heaps of traffic would come through on these roads. But friends, although he had a lot of money, he lived in an important city, because of who he was and who he worked for, he didn't have a lot of friends. He would have been abused, laughed at, mocked, insulted. He wouldn't be invited to most of the parties that everyone else would be invited to. Sure, he had his circle of friends, the other tax collectors, and their little group of immoral people, traitors, cheats, hiding behind in their houses so they don't get in trouble from the rest of the population. And then Jesus turns up on his way. Where is Jesus on his way to? To the cross, right? He's on his way to Jerusalem. It's on the way to die for our sins on the cross. It's on the way to be raised from the dead to indicate that he has made salvation possible. He's offering grace and salvation. He's on his way to the cross to deal with our sin problem, our rebellion, our spiritual lostness. And then we come to Zacchaeus, heard that Jesus was going that way and he wanted to see who Jesus was. Why did he want to see Jesus? Why did this traitor and cheat and tax collector want to see Jesus? Now, maybe he heard that Jesus was a friend of sinners. Maybe he'd heard of the other people that Jesus showed grace to and mercy to. We're not sure. Maybe it was just curiosity. He wanted to see a famous person. And like we all want to see famous people. I hear about 76,000 people were at a concert at ANZ Stadium last night to see some lady called Taylor Swift. I think she sings well. Yeah, we like interesting people. And Jesus was a miracle worker. He was a healer. He raised the dead. Stories about him. Maybe he just wanted to see him and say, what's he like? Or maybe his conscience was disturbing him. Maybe he realized that he was a traitor and a cheat and a liar and he needed something else. We don't know. What we're told is that he was up a tree. He was a short man. By the way, when I picture Zacchaeus, if I had a PowerPoint here, I would have had Danny DeVito, what do you reckon, in a dress, right? I just can't help it. When I think of Zacchaeus, I'm running around here somewhere, short guy with a tunic, and it's going to be good because Liambo and I are preaching next service together. Here's my Zacchaeus. And I'm going to bring a tunic for you, Liambo, next service. You're going to put it all on? No, we're not. But I picture Danny DeVito running around trying to work out what's going on. And he can't see it, so he's resourceful. He climbs up a tree and he wants to see him. There's something about Zacchaeus, something about Jesus. He didn't care about looking ridiculous. And when he's up on the tree, what do you think the rest of the people are doing? Going, oh, Zacchaeus, that tax collector, you traitor, you animal, get down from there. Right? They're not saying, oh, isn't it lovely? Zacchaeus is here too to see Jesus. No, he's hiding up there trying to, not to be noticed, but everyone will see him. People going past, they look up a tree. That's a tax collector. Can you imagine? That's the chief tax collector. He's up the tree. Right? It's a ludicrous situation, a ludicrous picture. There's Danny DeVito up the tree, right? He's looking down. And Jesus enters the scene. In one sense, what makes it worse for Zacchaeus is this. He is maybe quietly wanting to see Jesus going through, and Jesus stops, looks up, Now, if he was hiding and no one knew he was up in the tree, guess what? Everyone now knows. Jesus cares. And he knows his name. Come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. The crowds are looking, thinking, what's going on here? Zacchaeus jumps down, we're told. Can you picture him? He's running along. Jesus is coming to my house. He gets all his servants and workers. He's filthy rich. He has people who work for him. Get the meals out. Get the friends. All the tax collectors' mates are coming over to his house. And Jesus is going to hang out with all the traitors and the cheats and the liars. Friends, God always takes the initiative in salvation. Doesn't he? God sees us in our lostness and pursues us. And at Christmas, we remember that God pursued us all the way from heaven to earth, be born as a baby, that he would come to be our Savior. God pursued me, and you know, some of you know my story. God brought me from Greece to Australia because he wanted to share the gospel with me. And he took me to Marrickville and he sent a Christian primary school teacher along who set up an after-school ISCF group that I got invited to by my brother. So God was pursuing me. He moved me from another country to Sydney so I would hear the gospel. And he sent a Christian teacher in to share the gospel with me, to set up a group so I would hear the gospel. And I give thanks to God's initiative in doing that. Now, Pastor Liambo, on the other hand, God knew Liambo and Julia that they were lost. So he brought them to Australia to study. Studied a PhD in chemistry, Sydney University. But through that process, God put them in contact with some English classes at the Asheville Presbyterian Church. And over 2 or 3 years, and Liambo will say, I wasn't very interested at the beginning, I didn't know much at the beginning, but over a period of time, God broke into his life and Julia's life. Now saved and experienced the grace of God and the transformation of God. And God then took him back to China and lectured at a university in China. Until they found out he had a lot of Christian material and he talked about Jesus a lot and preached in churches and translated in churches. Then they arrested him and put him into prison. Held him and then put him under 12 months house arrest, where he could travel to the university and lecture and travel home. And so then God brought him back to Australia. And he gave up his career and just decided to give his life to the work of the gospel. And today he's been serving with us for almost 12 months in this church. God pursued him and brought him to himself. Friends, that's the type of God we have. God saw Zacchaeus, but Jesus saw him and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Zacchaeus goes, wow. The guy is thinking, I don't have a hope in the world. No one loves me. I'm an enemy of the people of God. And Jesus wants to come to my house. And let me tell you, Jesus wants to come to your house. To come to your life. Take you whoever you are, whatever you've done, and forgive you. I love the story of C.S. Lewis. And here's a different situation. He talks about God loving him, pursuing him. And this is part of his testimony. This is what he says. Because C.S. Lewis was not interested in Jesus. At least Zacchaeus was up the tree checking out Jesus. C.S. Lewis says, you must picture me alone in that room at Magdalen, night after night, feeling whenever my mind lifted even for a second from my work, the steady, unrelenting approach of him whom I so earnestly desired not to meet. That which I so earnestly feared had at last come upon me. In a Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night, he says, the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. I did not see then what is now the most shining and obvious thing, the divine humility which will accept a convert even on such terms. The prodigal son at least walked home on his own feet. But who can duly adore the love which will open the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking and struggling and resentful and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance to escape. God loves us. God pursues us. God comes after us. That's why he came to earth. That's why he lived a perfect life. That's why he died on a cross. That's why he rose from the dead. That's why he ascended back up into heaven, so he can prepare a place for us for all of eternity. Friend, salvation is for all, for the murderers, the cheats, the liars, the thieves, the arrogant, the jealous, the drug takers, the sexually immoral, the adulterers, the gossips, the Islamic terrorists, those who have rejected God as king and run their lives their own way. It's for Hindus and Muslims, for Buddhists and agnostics. It is for the thief crucified next to Jesus who repented in the final seconds of his life. It is for the John Dixons, for the C.S. Lewis's, for the Ange Gratsunas's, for the Liam Bozangs. It is for everyone. It's because he loves you. Who are you like? Are you like Zacchaeus or are you like C.S. Lewis? Zacchaeus jumps at the chance to meet Jesus. Or are you like C.S. Lewis? You know it's true, but you don't want to come to him. Right? He could be sitting here this morning, yeah, I know. I know I should come to Jesus, but I'm not sure I want to come to him. And God's just drawing you. Just give up, right? Just give it up. Come to him. Find forgiveness and new life and transformation. And then we have the crowd. So the crowd starts grumbling. This man has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Well, good observation, right? They're saying this is just crazy. Religious leaders don't do this type of thing. You can't just forgive people like this. Don't you understand what he's like? Friends, a few weeks ago at our men's breakfast, Nessun Kisten spoke at our breakfast. His father, Tony, was one of the 35 people killed at the Port Arthur massacre. And I remember at the press conference just after his father died, where he said this. It's on television, printed in the newspapers. Angry? I don't feel angry. This man who did what he did, I feel sorry for. He's very alone. I want to tell this guy that I love him too, because my dad would have loved him. And on the news, on national television, trembling and shaking, he held out his arms like this, said, Jesus died for him too. All are sinners. All have to face God's judgment. Charles Colson, in his book of essays, Who Speaks for God, listen to this, an amazing story, tells about watching a segment of television 60 Minutes, in which the host Mike Wallace interviewed Auschwitz survivor, guy, his name was Yehiel Denua. He was a principal witness at the Nuremberg war crime trials. He says, during the interview, a film clip from Adolf Eichmann's 1961 trial was viewed, which showed Denua, this is a guy on trial, he enters the courtroom, comes face to face with Eichmann for the first time since being sent to Auschwitz almost 20 years earlier. It's the guy who sent you, the guy who was in charge of the concentration camp, the guy in charge of having people killed, the one who was like a godlike evil figure. He says, I walk into the court, you see him walk into the courtroom and sees this guy. And he breaks down uncontrollably. And he faints. He collapses. They asked him, what happened to you? Was it hatred? Was it fear? Was it horrid memories? What was it? And this is what he said. He said, I realized that Eichmann was not the godlike army officer who had sent many to their deaths. This Eichmann was an ordinary man. Then he said, I was afraid of myself. I saw that I am capable to do this. I am exactly like he. And Wallace's subsequent summation of Denua's terrible discovery was, Eichmann is in all of us, is a horrifying statement, he says. But it captures the central thrust about man's nature. As a result of the fall, sin is in each of us. And you may have never sent anyone to a concentration camp, but you've hurt people, you've lied, you've been angry, you've spoken unfairly and unlovingly. There's been abuse, maybe domestic abuse or rape or murder or types of things that happen with supposedly ordinary people in our community. When you look at domestic violence statistics in our society, absolutely terrible. Ordinary people, supposedly, in ordinary homes. I remember the story a few years ago of a large supermarket that had a blackout. 3 minutes blackout. People rampaged through the shopping centre, took anything they could. 3 minutes blackout. Running out of the store with things all over the place, destroying things, breaking things. And you think, how does that happen? So you take the former Yugoslavia, held together at peace. All of a sudden, Tito gets taken out and dies. All of a sudden, the people who were living next door to one another as friends and neighbours are now killing and raping each other. Ordinary people. Eichmann is in all of us. Sin and the potential for terrible sin is in each of us. And therefore the Bible is right. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. No one gets to heaven. If you're sitting here today, think, well, no, I'm not as bad as them. I'm getting into heaven because I'm pretty good. If you think you're getting into heaven because you're good, forget it. You need a Saviour. His name is Jesus. Friends, a friend of mine was... skipped a page. Let's keep going back here. What happens to Zacchaeus? Verse 8. He says, I will give, having had Jesus in his home. And we're not told what Jesus preached about. We're not told, we don't have a sample of a sermon. It doesn't even say he preached about the kingdom of God. We assume he's preaching about the kingdom of God. We assume he's preaching about repentance and faith in him, that he's a Messiah and a Saviour. But we're not told. But whatever, Zacchaeus has heard Jesus preach. Then at the end of it says, Lord, I will give half my belongings to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone, I will pay him back four times as much. The liar, the cheat, has now become a generous man, admitting his sin and failures, willing to pay back four times as much. So something has happened to Zacchaeus. In the encounter with Jesus, he was up in a tree, he has Jesus in his home, conversations taking place, and meals are being shared, but all we know is that at the end of it all, he says, I'm a new man. And Jesus says to him, salvation has come to this house today. This man also is a descendant of Abraham. And Jesus realized that this man has a genuine faith. His life has changed, has been transformed. Friends, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For the Zacchaeuses, people like you and people like me. That is the good news of the gospel. And friends, around this community and around the world where our workers, our missionaries work, there are lost people who need saving. What are we to do? Pray, love, serve, proclaim. Why do we do carols? So people that we've never met before might hear about Jesus Christ and his love and his forgiveness. In those few moments through the songs or through a conversation, or maybe someone might listen to the 7 or 8 minute talk I give, somewhere amongst all that noise and all the playing around, someone might hear something and it brings a spark of interest in them. That's why we do. We're on a mission to make disciples. Friends, the world is full of guilty people who need to find the word innocent spoken over their lives through Christ. I have a friend of mine who went and sang in a prison in South Australia a number of years ago. And it was a women's prison, and he sang, he performed, and tried to bring a message of hope to them. And he said, I've never seen so many broken people. Can you imagine a women's prison? It's a lot of them been raped, abused, domestic abuse, and drug addicted, just broken women. And he said, I left that place after talking to them, and I just went home and wrote a song about the guilty verdict that stands over these women's lives and how Jesus is able to turn it into an innocent verdict. So a year later, I went back. I was invited back to the same prison to speak to virtually the same women. At the end of the night, I sang the song. I told them, I wrote this song for you women, that you feel guilty, that ashamed, but through Jesus Christ, you can be innocent. You can have your slate wiped clean. You can be pure and right before a holy God because Jesus loves you. I said, I sang that song for them. At the end of it, I said, there was not a dry eye in the place. We're more just weeping, hoping that this message, he said, could be true. As if they were saying that we just wish that we could be forgiven and given a clean slate in life. And the good news, there is. Doesn't matter what's on your slate of life, Christ wipes it clean through his death and through his resurrection. You can become new, you can be transformed, and you can live for him and for his glory. Our role is to believe him, to pursue him as Zacchaeus did, and then to proclaim him and to model him. And through that, as we do that, we can make a difference in the world. May God help us to do that. Let me pray. Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful message of Jesus' encounter with Zacchaeus. Lord Jesus, that you've come to seek and to save the lost. We thank you for that. We were lost and hopeless. We were on the way to eternal judgment without hope in the world. And you made salvation possible. We thank you today for that. Help us to believe in the gospel and to live in light of the gospel. Help us to share this gospel with other people that they too would experience new life and forgiveness. Lord, there are guilty people all around us who refuse to come to you. We pray that by your Spirit you would open up their hearts, that they would understand that you are willing to offer them forgiveness and a new start. Lord, for anyone this morning in this gathering who is not yet right with you, who is running from you like C.S. Lewis was doing, or maybe interested like Zacchaeus was to find out more, that today they might repent of their sins, put their faith and trust in you, and start life again as a child of the living God. And we pray this in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.